In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as our universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 105, on Civic Duties. We have a diptych, a double picture, here at the beginning of the lesson. One, it says, voting is a civic duty. And the caption reads, among the civic duties is that of voting. All who are granted this right should exercise it. They must not prostitute their right, but use it justly for the good of all. The second picture says, loyalty to our country is a duty. The caption reads, it is the duty of every citizen to be loyal to his country, to support its institutions, and to respect its laws and its flag. A good Catholic is a good citizen. First question, what are the duties of a citizen toward his country? A citizen must love his country, be sincerely interested in its welfare, and respect and obey its lawful authority. God gave us our country, and we show him our gratitude by rendering it our love and service. Love is shown not by words, but by actions. But true love of country is always the subject to the law of him who gave us our country. How does a citizen show a sincere interest in his country's welfare? A citizen shows a sincere interest in his country's welfare by voting honestly and without selfish motives, by paying just taxes, and by defending his country's rights when necessary. We are responsible to God for the men we elect to office, for he has permitted us to have the right and duty to select the men we want. Everyone who has the right to vote has likewise a serious obligation to use that right properly. Electors must choose men of experience and Christian principles. If we elect men with no religious principles, we should not be surprised if later in office they turn out unsatisfactory. It is wrong to sell one's vote. It is selling one's convictions. Persons who buy votes are not likely to use the office they might thereby gain for the good of anyone else but themselves. Every Catholic who has the right to vote should exercise that right. Matters closely connected with the life of the people are the constant subject of legislation or debate. Even if your vote does not enable the good candidate to win, at least it will lessen the margin of his defeat. A Catholic elector who gives his vote to a candidate hostile to Christian principles, or by abstaining from voting, contributes towards the success of such a candidate and has much to answer for. It is the Catholic voter's duty to vote for candidates that will act justly in questions of morals and have the Christian principles at heart. Those who do not have the right to vote ought to pray for a result in the election favorable to upright men and the country in general. A Catholic elector must not vote for any candidate who despises the teachings of Christianity. Before voting, he should find out the candidate's views on education, marriage, etc. It may happen that all the candidates for an office are indifferent or hostile to religion. In that case, if no other candidate can be made available, the Catholic should vote for the one least hostile to Christian principles, most moral in his qualities. We are bound to contribute towards the expenses of government by paying taxes. It is wrong to cheat the state in the matter of taxation. It is only just that the citizens should contribute towards the maintenance of peace, order, good works, the army, etc. Our Lord himself paid taxes, from St. Matthew chapter 17, verse 26. It is only just that we should help support the government that secures us protection. In case of a just war, men should be ready to render military service for the defense of their country. A war of conquest in which the just rights of other peoples are overridden is not just. Those who during wartime offer their lives for the defense of their homeland will receive an eternal reward if they are in God's grace. Why must we respect and obey the lawful authority of our country? We must respect and obey the lawful authority of our country because it comes from God, the source of all authority. God has entrusted the maintenance of peace and order in human society to the secular authorities. It is His will that among so many, some should rule and others be subject to that rule for law and order. Quote, "By God kings reign, and lawgivers decree just things," from Proverbs chapter 8, verse 15. Another quote, "There exists no authority except from God," from Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Another quote, "Be subject, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors as sent through him, for such is the will of God," from the first epistle of St. Peter, chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Our civil rulers or superiors are those who have authority in the government. We call them civil officials. Most of our officials obtain their offices by the vote of qualified electors. Therefore, if we get a bad government, it is our own fault. Our civil officials are the president, senators, representatives, justices of the Supreme Court, and other judges, governors, mayors, etc. Others, such as sheriffs, policemen, etc., are also civil officials. We should be loyal to our civil officials, obey their just laws, and pray for them. We are bound to obey just laws because all lawful authority comes from God. From Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. We are not bound to obey unjust and wicked laws. Laws contrary to divine law, opposed to the law of God, cannot be just. If therefore we are commanded to do what God forbids, or to desist from doing what He commands, we must obey God rather than man. From Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, verse 29. We should pray for our civil superiors, as St. Paul urges us. Quote, "I urge, therefore, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all men, for kings, and for all in high positions, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all piety and worthy behavior." First Epistle to St. Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. We have a serious obligation towards our civil officials, even if they are not the ones that we voted for. If God permitted them to obtain the post, we must render them support. It is a sin to plot against our government and country. Treason is a crime against God and our fellow men. We are bound to love our country and defend it against all its enemies, within and without. Quote, "Therefore, he who resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist bring on themselves condemnation." From Romans chapter 13, verse 2. Why are we obliged to take an active part in works of good citizenship? We are obliged to take an active part in works of good citizenship because right reason requires citizens to work together for the public welfare of the country. The citizens of a state are mutually dependent. The welfare of all depends on the active contribution made by all. A country is like an anthill. All the members should be working to increase the food store, to protect the hill from the weather and from enemies, etc. Those who take no interest in the work of the nation are dead weights that the others must bear. They contribute nothing to the welfare of the country in which they live. It is in a state where the citizens have no interest that evil men get into the public service in order to loot it and enrich themselves at the expense of the public. And that finishes our reading. I have one question that was written in. How do you vote for someone you do not have any information on them? How do you vote for someone when you do not have any information on them? Who can you trust nowadays? No one. I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that. But really, we are left, I think, very often to guess at what a candidate stands for, because the media is not trustworthy, or it has proven itself untrustworthy. I guess we could watch the live debates when they are presented and turn it off when the commentators start to make their commentaries, or to find a commentator that we trust, if you can, to give us an objective perspective of what the candidates stand for. But I don't know, usually I tend to look to see who the Right to Life has endorsed. And if they can get the Right to Life's endorsement, is generally the way I would vote. Because yes, as much media and the ease in which information gets out, it's very difficult to find the truth or to discern what is truth from fiction. And I know we jokingly point out that we have the best politicians that money can buy, implying that, yes, our politicians have obtained their vote through voters who have prostituted their vote. It is obvious that the candidate with the most money is generally the one that's going to win, and so it's imperative that these preparations for the election, whether raise fundraisers and all of that, they're trying to earn funds to get out their message, to get out their publicity, and I guess their slant or take on everything. And you're often left, well, this one makes a good point, but that one makes a good point also. Where do we draw the line? And really, I think we make the sign of the cross and ask God's grace and guidance, and then we move forward from there. And of course, discussing the different candidates and their platforms is very helpful if you can find someone as a good sounding board to listen. And I don't suggest that you get into heated arguments or debate, but to really strip aside the personality and let's get down to the facts. What is this person going to do for our country? What way are they going to vote? How are they going to behave? Very often we are left trying to choose the lesser of two evils, which one's not so bad. And then, of course, we're going to have to make a hierarchy of what we find to be most important as opposed to what is least important, and vote for those candidates who are more in line with the ideas that we hold more important than others. Really it is, I think, trying to choose the lesser of two evils. And of course, as we point out, the lesser of two evils is still evil, and we have a moral dilemma here, because we're not permitted to commit evil, no matter how evil, how little the evil may appear, or how insignificant the white lie might appear, it is still a lie. It is still an offense against God, and we should try to avoid it at all cost. But in the matter of our civic duties. We have to vote, or we should vote. We are strongly encouraged to vote. And if we don't vote, then we will soon lose the right to vote, as we have seen happen in many places throughout history. It is not a perfect system, but it is the system that God has given us. And I think our endeavor is to really do the best with it that we can. And ultimately, it is God who is in charge, and God who has given us the leaders, because he has given us the right to choose these leaders. But we should vote as conscientiously as we possibly can. And I can't really say that you can trust this news outlet or this commentator or this reviewer as opposed to that one. And I know I mentioned the right to life. Even in the right to life community, you've got different groups, different perspectives, and what they consider life. But ultimately, at least in the most of my lifetime voting, it's been either they are for the murder of children or they are for preserving the life of children. And to me, that is black and white. And if you can get the candidates down to that black and white distinction, then it becomes a matter of black and white in voting. But there are other issues besides the right to life that we can be, or that we should be, interested in. And of course, I can't go down through each and every one of them, but there are important matters. And that's not to say that the right to life is indifferent or not worthy. As I say, that's has been the principle or the highest thing on my agenda. I can't bring myself to vote for someone who says that anyone has the right to murder the children and the child in the womb. Do we have any other questions or comments? I thought we should get some debate out of that, but that's okay. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Act of resignation to the divine will. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.